Tell the New Yorkers about it. We can save the rest of America. What they're doing on Love Island US is anti-foreplay.
It's wrong.
It's wrong, it's and it's anti-foreplay.
It's anti-foreplay, and it's wrong. And it's sick.
And Zoran, we can save America. We can.
With our help.
With our help.
You can, you've made it far. Think about how much further you can go with
right.
us.
In New York, we do foreplay.
In New York, we do foreplay. Brad Lander, listen to me.
Dude, where are you? Pick up your phone. I'm going to a song party tonight, and you're obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the weekly summer party for heart-to-heart and hot gossip, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck, co-hosted by the one and only in this corner with a blue shirt and blue eye patches to match. It is Meg Ruoco.
Let's give a co-toast to the co-host, why don't we?
Hey!
Hey!
Hey, cheers, everybody!
Hey, raise. So raise your glass if you are wrong in all the right ways. All man underdogs, we will never be anything but loud or nitty gritty, dirty little freaks.
You can only do that with an awala.
Yep.
Is that an awala?
Yes, it is.
Nice. I'm glad we were on the same page.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like how we were both in Maine this weekend and didn't see each other at all. Like perhaps 2 square miles apart from one another.
I know. And we did go to all the same places at different times. Maybe at the same time. We actually don't know.
It's impossible to say. Invisible string theory.
No, literally.
And here's what's so crazy.
Imagine if you looked in the water and you just like see me in a boat.
Just like floating down a river in a tube.
Like the way it could have happened though. Like you were at Footbridge Lobster and the way you like could have looked out to the water and seen just like me floating down the river. And like you, I wouldn't have been looking at you. You would have just like seen purple hair moving
purple
and be like,
hair.
Hey.
That's Maddie.
Hey, what the hell?
I'll
where is she
Tuesday.
Going? You're like, hey. And I'm like, who's talking? Where? Is that from land? Where is the noise coming from?
Who's to say?
Who's to freaking say? But you know what I've been saying inside my head the last couple days? Hmm. Not couple days. The last month of my life. I need to talk to a fat person.
Finally, someone said it.
Because I feel like I actually am reaching a point in my life now, which this is a beautiful point, and I love this point that I'm at. Mm-hmm. But if I spend too long of a time not talking to fat people, I'm like, I'm going crazy.
I think you're right.
I like need fat people in my life. Biblically.
Yeah.
Life without fat people, dark and gloomy.
I don't want to know that life.
It's actually so sad to me. Yeah. And I feel like I've been traveling go for the last month of my life. Mm-hmm. And this past weekend when I was with my family, I was like, I need to talk to a fucking fat person.
Yeah, oh my God.
All you skinny bitches, get away from me. Looking at my mom and sister, you skinny bitches.
Get out me way.
Get away from me. I need to talk to a fat person.
No, and it does become that.
It does.
Because like you're on all these trips and like there are only so many times you're sitting at a table and you can hear someone say like, get dessert if you want it.
Right. All the like microaggressions and like small little slights you just, or it's even just like having to hear about the way that thin people talk about their own bodies is just like nauseating me. I need a break from it. I'm like, you know what? Bring me to the fat people.
Oh, there were like several times this weekend where I was with my friends and they started talking about their bodies and I was like, I gotta go. And
totally.
I just left
with
the room.
With peace and love, I can't.
I like, you guys can talk about how your bodies however
totally.
You want, but like,
I just cannot be here for that anymore.
No, I can't participate in that.
No,
in good conscience.
I'm going to go hang out with fat people instead.
Yeah.
You guys have fun doing whatever this is.
You just see me posting on Twitter. Where are all the
fat
people?
Where are the fat people? No, that's like, I need like a compass installed into my body that just like alerts me to where the nearest fat person is at any given moment.
Like a lie detector. Like it beeps more when you get closer. Or metal detector, I guess.
Yeah.
That's what I need.
No, I like do feel like such a affinity and like joint friendship with fat people across the globe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know how people say like when you get on an airplane or you're waiting for your flight and you see like somebody cute your age.
Mm-hmm. There's like immediate sexual tension.
Right. I actually don't give a fuck about that at all. It's me looking for other fat people on the plane.
Yeah.
Being like, who else is experiencing being fat in a plane right now? You?
Me and you, brother.
Who else is
hell
fat?
Yeah.
Who else's ass doesn't fit in right. This fucking seat?
Fat on a plane, solidarity.
Fat on a plane.
Like, that's what I'm doing in airports. I'm like, who's fat on this flight?
No, literally.
I need to know.
I feel that way, like, anytime I see, like, a fat woman serving, and I'm like, your outfit is eating down.
Completely.
And I feel that it's, like, it's one of those things where it's, like, when I'm giving that compliment or I'm receiving that compliment, I know it's coming from, like, deep within our souls.
Completely.
Like, we both feel it
so
heavy where we're like, you look incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh my God, thank you.
No, actually, compliments do mean more to me when they come from the mouth of fat women.
I completely agree.
I'm like, actually?
Because what's unspoken is like, I know every step that you've had to take to get to this point to have swag.
Completely. Completely.
And it's like, I see you, game recognized game. I had to crawl to where I'm at now too, girl.
There's a level of being seen that I just appreciate.
It's so important. It's so important.
Oh God. So I'm so glad to be here with you today.
Me too. It's an honor. I feel
freaking God.
I feel honored. And again, like, we so easily could have either of us texted one another. But you know what? That was a lot of work. It would have been a lot of work.
You did go to my favorite restaurant, though.
I did. I went to Walker's.
We couldn't even get a reservation this weekend because it was packed.
I knew everybody there, so they let me in. I didn't, but the people that I was with supposedly did.
I love at that restaurant, one of my favorite, it like looks like a house on the inside.
Yeah.
But my favorite thing that they do is they make all of the waiters bring the food over and they like gather at a table and they go and they bring it up together to every individual table.
I thought that was so interesting. I'm glad that you pointed that out because I was watching that happen and I was like, what are they doing?
I know the first time I went there, I was like, this is crazy. But it literally, like, no matter what table they're serving, they all like deliver the food together.
Yeah. It was delicious. It was amazing. I did tell my friends that after we got back, I was like, what happened this weekend gastrointestinally can never happen again. Because here's what I will say is that, like, when you're in a beach town and you're eating the food there, it is anything from like a double cheeseburger to like fried haddock to like shrimp to lobster mayo.
It's so good. So indulgent,
and
though.
It's so much different types of stuff. Like, I was like, my body is experiencing like a combination of foods that it just normally does not in a meal. So it's like, oh, you had clam chowder and also Mexican corn tonight.
Right.
I'm gonna freak out on you at 4 a.m. And that's exactly what happened.
It is so good, though. They have, like, it's the best corn and clam chowder ever in the world.
Good.
It
is so good.
Delicious.
It was our favorite part of the meal that night. And it was, like, 85 degrees out, and there was no AC in there. And we were like, we'll take the clam chowder.
Yeah, it's so good. It is the best thing on that menu. I'm glad you got it.
Yeah. I do love seafood. So, like, to be in a town that has such good fresh seafood, I was like, yes.
Yeah, no.
And I did have a lobster roll. First time in a long time that I had a lobster roll.
I literally had one once a day when I was there.
It's so good.
Nothing is as good as that.
Yeah. The Footbridge lobster rolls are
delicioso.
Muy delicioso.
Just all up in the southern Maine, York and Ogunquit vibes.
Be there or be square.
Yeah.
Brother.
So I was talking to you about this. I don't know if the lover girls have heard about this new dating app on the scene called Breeze that I like the concept of this one.
Yeah.
The lover girls on the Croatia trip told me about it, but basically the concept of this app is that, the app automatically sets up a date when you match with someone. So you have to be very careful about who you're matching with, because basically they have a bunch of in the cities that it's available in, which it is available in New York. So when you match with someone, it instantly like sees what areas of the city you're in and it makes you a reservation at one of their like partnered bars. And you have to pay for your first drink within the app. So it kind of locks you in to officially going on a date with this person.
Yep.
And if you bail on the date or cancel last minute, you do not get that money back. They'd refund the person you canceled on. But I like, and there's no chat. Once you match with someone, it's like instantly date is planned, matching schedules to see what works. You're out in the next week.
Yeah.
Which I kind of love, because so much of dating apps is like just getting stuck with all these people who just want to talk in circles and never actually go out.
Yeah.
And this kind of just, yeah, takes out all that middle ground. Is like, this is a dating app for people who actually just like want to use it as a way to meet people, but really just want to get off the apps and meet in person.
Right.
Which I kind of fuck with.
I really like that. Like, I love the idea of, yeah, like cutting out the like hemming and hawing.
Yeah. But what I have thought about a lot, I downloaded it to check it all out and see what the girlies are talking about. But as I was setting up my profile, I was like, I really wish, like, as a bisexual person, I wish I could have two different profiles.
Yeah.
One for men and one for women, because I actually do wish to express different parts of myself depending on who I'm dating.
That's like, so true.
If I'm dating men, I'm not going to, like, center all of my gayest interests on my profile. Right. I have so many interests and hobbies, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to center the ones on my profile that I think will most likely have the most overlap with.
Yeah.
But like, I'm not going to go on a big rant about Lady Gaga on my dating profile if I'm dating men, because more likely than not, there's less men that are going to have an overlap with me there. But when I'm dating women, I'm like, okay, but maybe I would like them to know that I'm a little monster.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's just up. There's other parts of me that I would want to center depending on who I'm dating. And I actually think it's absurd that that dating apps haven't allowed you to make like different profiles depending on like who you date if you're a bisexual person.
Yeah. I think it's just so hard to use dating apps as like a bisexual or queer person generally, because it's just like, it's already so difficult to like express yourself period on a dating app, and then to like add in the kind of the nuance of like who you might be talking to, I think is just like such a difficult thing that like dating apps really have not accomplished yet. Because even if you are on like exclusively a queer dating app, that is still just like one side of one coin. You know what I mean? Like, even if you are on
I don't want to have to be on so many. I want to be on one dating app. Like, I want to be on one or zero dating apps. Yes. Like, I just am not that fucking interested in having like a different dating app for every part of myself. Like, I just want to have one or nothing.
Yeah.
I can't deal with all of this.
Yeah.
I can't have like one straight dating app and one gay dating app and one dating app that makes me a date instantly and another dating app that doesn't. Like, can we just have one? Can we just make one big, mega, super, ultra dating app?
Yeah.
And make all the rest of them defunct.
Bring me the big one.
Right. Call me up when you guys make the big one. And other than that, get away from me.
I am out. I know. Even you describing that, I'm like, oh my God, who has time for that?
Right. I that's a full business at this point. I don't have all that time.
I put up a listing on Facebook Marketplace the other day and forgot about it for 8 days. You think I have time to check my dating apps every day?
No. I also don't want to. Like, I was just saying this to Meg before we started rolling, and this was fully what my therapist and I talked about all day today. But I am in this era where I just am really not interested in dating men.
Yeah.
And I know that it's like so trauma informed. But also, I'm like, oh, it's just exhausting.
Yeah, it is.
So catch me only on the women's side of everything for a little while.
We will be grateful.
Because I can't deal with it. So now I'm only creating my dating profile with women in mind. Men get fucked. Challenge. You've lost your privileges to me.
Your privileges have been revoked.
Check back in a year.
Yeah.
We'll see how we're doing.
We'll give it some time.
I just can't.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
But I am going on a date tomorrow. But that was an accident. I know. I'm like, I said this to my therapist. I was like, I don't want to date. I am going on a date tomorrow. But it's because I was testing out this fucking app.
Right.
And I knew that the whole premise of the app was that when you match, it instantly sets up a date.
Yep.
I don't know if I realized that it was like no way out kind of deal, unless you're going to like fully cancel. And
right.
Whatever, I'm going to go, and I'm sure I'll have a great time.
Yeah. But
after that, we're done.
You know, you'll have a drink, you'll talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows how these things go?
Yeah.
And also,
nice to just chat to a new person.
It's always nice to chat to a new person.
Very low stakes. I am like interested in just really testing this app out and like seeing it through.
Give it a whirl.
Because I do like the concept of it.
Yeah, it's like a very cute concept. They had a very similar app that I wonder if it's the same people that like relaunched it. But of course, the app that I used, which was called Bounce, not Breeze.
Okay, very similar though, which makes very me think it similar. Could be.
I agree. They launched it quite literally in February of 2020.
Right. So like the worst time to launch a dating app ever.
So I like went on one Bounce date and then it, you know, completely got.
Right. Just goodbye.
Goodbye. It was goodbye.
Yeah, that's tough for them.
That's tough for them.
Great idea. Like quite possibly the single worst time to launch that in the entire history of dating apps being a thing.
Really unfortunate.
Like, I actually can't think of a worse time.
Yeah. Deeply, deeply unfortunate timing on their part. But if it's the same people, congrats to you. I'm glad that you found your way back to this app and this community because I think you had a really good idea.
Yeah. Totally.
So excited to hear how your day goes.
Yeah,
come
totally.
On.
I'll update the Lover Girls. Yeah. But I was talking to my therapist about this and connected here kind of reflecting on this. But when I was in Florida for my friend's bachelorette, which I guess I haven't done an episode since this bachelorette. It was Cuckoo Bananas Crazy Sound. I'm going to talk more about it on the post show. There may or may not have been a stripper involved.
Whoa. I may or may not have seen photos.
It got a little
and
crazy.
The live photos.
It was a little crazy. Okay?
You would not believe you what actually, was happening in the live photos.
You actually, I have many stories about that night. That was crazy. But I'll save those for the patrons because they are a little bit too crazy for the main pod.
Totally.
But we went out one of the nights. It was a disaster. It was so much fun, but it was a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the clock struck 12:30 and every annoying man in the world just like descended upon our group.
Oh God.
We were at the upper level of this club in St. Pete and I swear to God, it was every annoying man that's ever existed just like descended from the rafters at 12:30.
Yeah.
And it is crazy to me that that works on people.
Yeah.
Because, okay, a man came up to me. Picture this. Mm-hmm. I was like leaning by the balcony and I had my hand against like a couch armrest and I was talking to my friend and some man comes up to me and goes like this, runs his fingers up my arm, starts at my fingers and just touches me, runs it all the way up my arm. And I'm like, who's touching me? I turn and look, this guy goes, winks at me.
What? No.
I was like, hello?
No.
What's happening?
Uh-uh.
So I was like, and I'm like turning and we have like photos of the groom blown up on, we have like little like fans. Paddles. And so I was using it as a fan because it was hot as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm using his face as a fan and then he takes it out of my hand and starts fanning me, fanning himself. And I was like, ew.
Ew.
Like men stop talking to me challenge.
Yeah.
And so I am like, just like, trying to get him to stop talking to me, like turning my back and like being really fucking rude because I did not want to talk to him.
Yeah.
And then when he realizes it's not working on me, he just like pivots to doing it to the next girl. And it does work on her, which good for him. But I have to sit there and be like, why is this working on anyone?
Yeah.
Guys, wake up challenge.
Wake up.
Why is this working on anyone? That's crazy.
Yeah.
Also, half the guys that were there were pilots, which was greatly concerning to me because why are they flying a plane? Those guys are the ones flying planes.
Those guys also for sure have wives.
I'm not feeling good about the fact that they're flying planes.
They're flying planes and they have wives.
They act like that. They're flying planes and they have wives.
Yeah. You can't be all three.
Guys, I'm not feeling good about what's happening at Delta.
I'm not liking what I'm seeing.
You know what I mean?
From the Delta community.
Oh my God.
No, that's so scary.
But the way that men act in clubs, in bars, also just like the touchiness in general. When a stranger touches me in a bar, I like feel violent.
No, I feel quite icky about it. The only times that has ever worked on me is in like the brief 2 hours when I'm like at my drunkest somewhere. And like that hasn't happened since I was maybe 24 years old.
Like don't touch someone
that
you don't know.
Don't touch them like that, especially.
Like, I hate when they're trying to scooch through the crowd and they touch the like small of your
back.
I'm like, don't do that either.
Get away from me.
And also, this is another thing that sometimes I'm like, is this something that I have learned from being fat that like, this is why I am like, well, fucking obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm looking at a crowd and there's no clear path through, I don't walk through it.
Right.
Because I don't fit there.
Right. Right.
And then when I see men just like push themselves places and there's like no room for them to stand and they'll just push themselves right up next to you and be like, sorry, there's nowhere for me to go. I'm like, then why are you here?
Yeah.
If there's nowhere for you to go, why are you pushed up against me?
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this just like a fat person thing? Like, I've been so aware of how much space I take up my whole life that when I see a place I don't fit, I don't bother pushing myself in there.
Yeah.
And men just like be doing shit all the time.
Right.
Oh my God.
No, it's honestly crazy. Like I see places I do fit and I still end up not fitting.
Right.
I'm like, oh, sorry. I'm like knocking shit over.
Yeah.
It also, it is so like the audacity of men. I didn't tell you this about this weekend. This was like, it was a blip on the radar of what happened. But part of what happened this weekend, because I was also in Maine with my friends and we were with kind of like friends of friends, people, some people we knew, some people we didn't, whatever. And there was one guy in this group who I pretty quickly assessed that he was checking out like one of my friends intently. And I had already kind of seen him do like gears turning of like, if it doesn't work out with her, I'm going to go for her, meaning me.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they all ended up going out one night. I ended up going to sleep because I was tired. I didn't want to. And, he was like dancing with her, kissing her on her cheek, like pulling her into like, and she was like not having it. Come to find out, that man has a fiance of 5 years and a kid.
The way I just actually felt my blood go cold.
I know.
What is wrong with him? How'd you find that out?
His friends told us.
Oh my God.
And I believe actually on that same trip, he ended up making out with a bartender who worked in town. Men are doing anything.
Be castrated challenge. Everyone should castrate one man a year.
Men are doing anything.
I love saying things like this on the podcast.
It's so awesome.
Jesus Christ.
No, it was so crazy. We found that out and I was like, I'm not surprised about that at all. And it's so funny because I overheard someone saying what I thought was like, oh, his girlfriend, his wife, whatever. And so I went to my friends later and I was like, guys, I'm pretty sure that guy has like a wife or something. And they were like, no way. Like, no shot he'd be acting like that if he like very publicly has like a wife or something. And I was like, no, I think he does. Turns out.
That's insane.
I know.
Yeah. I feel like the as days go on, I really do witness something new every day that I'm like, no, guys, that's crazy, actually.
Yeah.
Don't date them.
Well, it just makes it easier and easier to be like,
don't put up with that.
Right. It just makes it easier and easier for me to be like, well, I'm not going to date you then.
Totally. Oh, how do you think I've arrived where I've arrived? I'm like, we didn't get to the point where I'm like, actually, men revoked access to me.
Right.
Only women are allowed to date me.
Right.
I'm bisexual. Like,
yeah.
There was a world where men did have access to me.
There is a chance.
No longer.
Yeah.
You're on probation.
Yeah.
That's jail.
That's jail. No, it's made my selection process like very particular.
Completely. Also, I do like really get off on being a bitch.
For sure.
Which is what I'm learning these days.
Oh yeah.
The Croatia lover girls witnessed something beautiful and gorgeous on the trip. When we were on the ferry, we were coming from Hvar to Dubrovnik, and
okay,
it's like a super busy ferry, so we just have to drop our luggage off in the bottom part of the ship and then go up to find a seat. There was like no open seats in the regular part of the ship. So we were all just kind of standing around because we caught wind that they were opening up the top part of the ship. So it should just be like a bunch of open seats, smaller than the main part, but still.
Yeah.
So they did end up opening the upstairs and there's 25 of us. Some people did find seats on the lower level, but let's say there's like half of us that went up to the upper level of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
When we get up there, there is a grown man trying to save three rows and there's three seats in each row. So he's trying to save nine seats. And he's just like, yeah, there's people coming. We're like, where are they?
Where are the people?
Where are the people? Because we're here now.
Yeah.
And we are people and we need seats. And so we're just kind of all standing around like, okay. And we start slowly like overtaking some of his rows because we're like, he can't save this many seats. No, that's fucking
that's
absurd.
Insane.
Like, to save a seat for the person next to you is one
Fine.
Thing. I'll even let you save two seats.
Yeah.
Any more than that, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that's fucking
I'm like,
crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So we slowly start overtaking his section. Three people sit down, then another three people sit down. There's one row left that he's standing in.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell that he's like realizing that he kind of lost the battle here and might just fully give up and go away. So I'm standing there watching him. And there were three men who came up to the upper level right after us.
Yeah.
And they were watching us the whole time. They saw that there was a group of a bunch of women trying to get seats. They walk upstairs after us and they just stand there. And this man who has been, you know, hogging all these seats and telling us no, looks at those three guys and is like, I'll just, you guys can take this. I'll move.
What?
He slides out of the row and those three guys start to slide in. I see it. I go, absolutely fuck not. I sit my fat ass down in the middle of that row. I'm not even kidding. They were walking in. I go, oh. down. They were so mad at me, Meg.
Oh my
they were
God. Giving
they were like we were gonna sit there. I was like, yeah, me too. I was being a bitch. I was being a bitch.
Me too,
I was
brother.
Like, what happened to chivalry?
Yeah.
I was here first.
Yeah.
You saw me here first.
Right.
This fucking loser man wouldn't make room for us, but he would make room for you.
Yeah.
Who came second. And yeah. You're just going to let him do that? Fuck no.
Absolutely.
So
not.
I sat my ass down. I was like, I don't give a shit. I'm beefing with my whole row. The two guys that are sitting next to me are pissed. Their one boy that I kicked out is over across the ferry. Shoes off, by the way. Now he has upper level full of lover girls fucking pissed. So we're all in the group chat talking to each other and they're like, no, that's crazy what just happened. Aaron, one of the girls on the trip, was like, that was some real New York City shit.
Yeah,
that I just witnessed.
100%.
Like, I've been training. I love beefing with men on public transportation.
Yes.
Don't try it, bitch.
Yes.
This man thought that he was going to swoop in and take my seat. Oh, but there's three of us. We were going to sit there. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, I was going to sit here too.
I was also standing here the whole time with a big group of bitches behind me.
Right.
So guess what? I'm here now, bitch. Now we're best friends.
Yeah.
He's in the other seat. His boy's across the boat with no shoes on. Absolutely acting a fool. And then there was other people in the row next to us. There was two seaters across the row.
Mm-hmm.
And they like got up and left. So there was a fully open row. And for a second, I was like, I could go switch and have my own row right now. But I'm actually so committed to being a bitch.
Yeah.
That I'm going to stay here.
That's
and
so
sit
awesome.
With my boys.
Yeah.
For the rest of this ferry. we were literally having the time of our lives in that group chat. That was probably one of my favorite parts of the trip. One of the highlights was the absolute rage fest that ensued in that group chat afterwards. And people are like zooming in, taking photos of this guy's bare feet on the ferry. It was awesome.
That's so incredible. And I do love, because they were absolutely right. Like, it is like so New York too, to be like, for someone to be like, oh, I was gonna sit there, and it's like, bitch, me too, you saw me.
You're right, I've been here the whole time.
I've
you
been
walked
here
up
the whole
the
time
bo-
you have
after
eyes
me.
Like, you fucking
Holy
have
shit.
Eyes
what happened
right
what happened to the era of life where you guys would have act you like
would have been like for the lady
right and have you were here first
of course
my queen
madame. No, that doesn't that doesn't exist anymore.
No, bitch.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just got to be mean.
It is so crazy. Like, I think it was like a tweet that I saw the other day that was like, this type of like new red pill conservative wave of men is insane, because like, I'll talk to my dad, who's the most conservative man in the world, and I'll like tell him how men are treating women, and he's like, that's ghastly.
Yeah,
like, it's
right.
Like, it's like, I feel like, yeah, there was like, not to say that like old conservative men
no,
are
but
the
there
pinnacle
was
of
an
anything.
Era where
there
it was like,
there was some sense of like
right.
respect to women
right.
and we offered
in their own way
in their
it was
own
like
way.
Respect in like a very misogynistic
right.
Like, women are
frail,
like delicate creatures that they just clean and they stay home with the kids. They're
right.
motherly, they're nurturing,
right.
and we have to like you know protect
we have to
them
nurture
because
them
of
and protect
that.
Them. I will say this though, it's so freeing when you have moments like that where you feel the like years that you've lived in New York like take over you
right.
and like you meet someone's kind of like hesitancy interacting with a stranger in public with like a New York, like, I do this every fucking day. Get out of my way. Oh, I don't so give a funny. Fuck if I don't know you. Get out of my fucking way.
I was laughing my ass off though. And I kept wondering if he was like going to look over and look at my phone. Cause I was laughing.
Oh, I'm sure reading he all did these at texts. Some point. Yeah.
And like, he's right next to me right. and we're like fully talking smack about him and his yeah, buddies.
That's awesome. Incredible. That's so fucking awesome.
Yeah. The whole thing was really quite something.
Perfect trip.
Perfect trip. Perfect trip. Men stop touching people at the bar.
Please.
And just like being menaces overall.
Please.
How about that?
How about America? That? How about that, America? I like that you've started saying that.
I do love
it's
asking.
Fun. It's fun. It's a new. It's
what
a,
now, America?
It's a new. I like it's new. I like that. I like that every time it implies that we're talking to the entirety of America. Right.
Totally.
I'll enjoy that a lot.
You need to answer for the crimes.
Right. Here's another. Male etiquette out at night thing that I'll pitch to you.
Men hate this podcast.
Men hate this podcast.
The men listening to the podcast are the ones that are commenting like, you're really negative. Yeah. I don't like when you are negative. This podcast used to be so much fun to listen yeah. to, and now it's so negative. And it's like, what episodes are you listening to, brother?
Here's what I will say though. This one's a little bit more polite. It's definitely it's goofy. It's
they
goofy.
Might like this one.
You guys might like this one.
Male listeners, don't leave yet.
Listen up. You guys might like this one. So something that our friends really like to do is karaoke.
Mm-hmm.
Like down bad for karaoke. If they could end every single night out doing karaoke, they would.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend Tanya, the other day we were driving up to Maine and she was talking about how one of our friends, who is a man, recently sent her several voice memos in a row
mm-hmm.
practicing one of his new karaoke songs.
No, I like that.
And then she proceeded to play those voice memos over CarPlay. And it was, I'm not kidding, it was like anywhere between like 8 to 12 like 2 minute long voice memos of him being like, da 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 ba da da ba hey hey fuck okay I got the rhythm wrong let me try that again.
No, I think that's funny. I like
okay,
that.
Okay, that was my question. Is I was like, do we think that it's gauche to practice your karaoke songs before you sing them out at night, or do you think that like we should be doing that more?
I think that if somebody was like a good singer doing that, yeah. I'd be irritated.
Yeah.
But if it's a bad singer practicing, I think that's actually so funny.
It was. And it was like, so critically, it was him like trying to figure out the rhythm of a song.
Right. Right.
Like,
right,
and
right.
he was not getting
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's great. Yeah. I think that's really good.
Yeah. And he would be like, okay, fuck, like now I'm going to play it with the Spotify track while I'm watching the YouTube words.
Right.
Okay. He would have different like approaches.
Yeah. Karaoke at home.
Karaoke at home.
Sharing it via voice memo.
Yeah.
The best summer pieces are always going to be the ones that you'll rewear over and over again. The ones that prioritize comfort, versatility, and are somehow right for every occasion, which is why I love Quince. They make elevated essentials using premium materials like European linen, organic cotton, and washable silk without the traditional retail markup. They're breezy, light, and perfect for the summer heat with pieces starting at just $32. And it's not just apparel. Quince also carries beautiful 14-karat gold jewelry to add a subtle finishing touch to your look, or elevated essentials for your home as well. From bedding to bath to kitchen essentials and furniture, I actually just picked up some throw pillow covers from them, which is nice because it easily allows me to switch up some of the styles of pillows I already have in my home instead of buying a billion throw pillows that I just don't have the space for in my apartment. And not only are they gorgeous, but they're super soft to the touch. It's already made my home feel cozier, which I need right now as I'm sitting in front of the AC trying to remain zen and not overheat this summer. So make your summer wardrobe feel easier. Go to quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada as well. That's quince.com/emotionallyonline for free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/emotionallyonline. Okay, I like his vibes.
And I think that we should be doing more of that, honestly.
There's something nice about that also.
Yeah.
There's something like sweet to me about someone practicing their karaoke in my text messages.
I agree.
Which does remind me, one time when I was in high school, I was going on like a ski trip that I didn't end up skiing on with some friends of mine at the time, and I was driving us. We had like a 5-hour drive or something.
Yeah.
And at the time, my car, I didn't have an aux cord or anything in my car growing up, so I would just burn a bunch of CDs that I kept in my car.
Love.
And so my friends, when they were coming on the trip, they were like, we're gonna burn a CD of like songs from us that like we can listen to in the car as well.
Yeah.
So they burned it was like a bunch of stuff, songs that they liked, some songs they knew I liked, and then the last song on the mix, it started out sounding like Lady Gaga's Aura, mm-hmm. which was off Art Pop, which was, it was around that time, it probably came out the year before, mm-hmm. and I love Art Pop. Art yeah. Pop's like to this day my favorite Lady Gaga album.
Yeah.
And shortly after the song starts, I realized that they recorded themselves singing Aura. And so it's Aura by Lady Gaga, sang by two of my guy friends at the time.
Oh.
And I thought it was like the nicest thing anyone had ever done for me. Like, I was like, I get that you guys are like making fun.
Right. It's of like a joke.
How like, you know, campy and ridiculous this song is.
Right.
But it actually was so sweet to me to see like my friends be like, oh, she loves this song. Right. So we're going to make this mixtape and the last song is going to be us singing Aura. And it's like a joke and it's silly, but we're doing it to make her laugh. And yeah. this is one of her favorite songs. I'm like, that was actually aww, so nice.
That is really nice.
I've actually thought about that a lot. Just being like, that is so cute. And it's also something that can't be replicated.
Yeah.
Because how the fuck am I going to listen to a CD now?
Well, that's true.
If someone gave me a CD now, I wouldn't even know what to do with it.
I guess make it a, like frame it or something. I don't know. Make it like a craft.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Like, you're going to have to buy a CD player. I'm like, right. Okay, I guess I will.
I guess I will to listen to this. Okay. If it's that important to you, I guess I'll do it.
There is something about like singing poorly,
yeah,
and sharing that with someone. It's a kind of intimacy that I like.
Yeah, it's like very endearing.
Yeah.
They did the karaoke challenge on Love Island USA the other day. Mm. Here's what I will say. That's where I draw the line. I actually couldn't,
what is
I couldn't watch it.
Karaoke challenge?
They sing karaoke and okay, then at the end that. Each couple sings karaoke, sings a duet, and at the end one is crowned karaoke king and karaoke queen.
Okay, I actually hate that. And they haven't done that on UK and I hope they never do.
I physically couldn't watch it. I actually you just like straight up couldn't watch it. They started singing and I was like, this is horrendous. It was truly astonishing how no one could carry a single tune. No one. I'm not asking for perfection, right, by the way. I'm asking for just basic follow the notes. Not that hard. Anyway, that's where damn. I draw the line. But if you're singing earnestly and you're kind of bad at it in my phone in a voice memo, that's
I'm going to love it.
I like that.
So you are watching Love Island US.
Yeah, I am. I know. I need to watch UK as well.
This season of UK is really good.
Yeah. This season of US is pretty good as well.
There's one, I think, honestly, probably she's my favorite Islander of all time now.
Really?
She's become it. Her name is Jasmine. She's on Love Island UK right now, and she is a bad bitch.
Yeah.
Like,
more than Maura.
I think so.
Whoa.
I love Maura. Yeah. I love Maura is
Maura is like an all-timer.
Maura
for me.
And Ekin-Su have yeah. been my favorites.
Yeah, yeah.
Jasmine is genuinely very smart and like direct and probably comes off as like the most feminist Islander I've ever seen on the show.
Interesting.
Like she actually seems like someone that I'd want to be friends with.
Yeah.
Which is not common on Love Island.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I just like really fuck with her and how she moves and carries herself. And
I love that.
The man that she's with in this, like, there's no man in that villa that's good enough for her.
Yeah.
She is so far out of all of their leagues. It's bananas to me.
Yeah.
But the man that she's with, I don't understand why the fuck she's in a couple with him. It makes no sense. He is normie as hell.
Weird.
And she is like the coolest bitch to ever live.
Yeah.
But I said this on Instagram the other day, and some people told me that I guess the UK public really doesn't like her, and she's been getting a lot of hate online. And I was just like, okay, that's fucking insane to me if that's true, because she is like so likable.
Yeah.
And like so just that bitch.
Right.
And calls out the men, doesn't take shit.
Yeah.
Like is, I love her.
Yeah.
So to me, it was almost like a beautiful reminder that like truly the baddest of bitches, mm-hmm. a lot of the world can't handle you.
That's so true. That's
and it's because so you, true. You are like so far beyond yeah. them. They can't even comprehend.
They can't handle the sauce.
The truth that you're spitting.
Yeah.
While being as sexy and brilliant, fun to be around, intelligent. Like they hate you because they ain't you in yeah. a major way.
So true.
Whoever said that way back in the day, they hate me because they ain't me.
They ate with that.
That was so true.
Tor.
They were fucking real for that.
This reminds me of, and I'm going to forget her name now, but in the early, early seasons of Love Island UK, there was this like incredible woman who was on the show where I'm like, how did she even find this show? She was... she went and she would like diffuse old yes. bombs.
Camille?
Yes.
Yes.
Camille.
She was also brilliant.
I was obsessed with
Camille.
She was
like
Camille.
A true like feminist as well.
She was like true feminist. And she like spent the entire season of Love Island yeah. being like, I'm just waiting around. Haven't really found my guy yep. yet. And then the hottest motherfucker mm-hmm. came on. And he's like, I'm Italian. I'm a model. I'm obsessed with you. Mm-hmm. And they, I believe, are still married and have kids.
Yes. They are.
And that was like one of my favorite stories from Love Island
and
across the board.
She made no sense for the... Because she was
none.
Like brilliant.
She was so
brilliant, smart,
yes.
sexy. Like
so
she was
kind.
Everything.
Yes.
And there actually was like a conversation that season where some guy was like, I don't believe in feminism.
Yes.
And she like very... had she like basically gentle
parented him yeah.
into being like, I think you have like a fundamental misunderstanding of what feminism is.
Yeah.
Oh.
She was incredible.
Jasmine is like,
reminds me
she's
of her.
Like the
yeah, yeah.
feistier version
yeah,
of her.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Because Jasmine is a little bit more no nonsense.
Yeah, because Camille was very like, she was very sweet.
Gentle,
she was very gentle.
And timid.
Yes.
And, yeah, came off in a different way. Jasmine is like, whew,
yeah.
firecracker.
Love.
I love her.
Love.
I love
hot.
Her.
Yeah, she sounds really hot. Well, I'll give it a watch.
But I will say, oh, so when I was on The Bachelorette, they were watching Love Island US, so they kind of told me.
Sorry, I just got like so confused because we were watching we were talking about reality TV, and then when you said when I was on The Bachelorette, and I was like, sorry, what?
Sorry, when did that happen?
Like, when did that happen? And what the fuck are
like,
you talking
yeah, so
about?
Yes, I'm a part of Bachelor yeah. Nation.
That's Nation.
You guys didn't know.
Like, what?
No, when I was on my friend's Bachelorette, yes. they were all watching Love Island US. So they were, I asked them to sort of give me the rundown
oh,
because
yeah.
they wanted to watch an episode. And I was like, sure, clue me in. What's the vibes? I watched one episode of Love Island US with them. They were like fucking. Like they were like fucking.
Oh, they're fucking crazy
like,
style.
In the challenge, it was like they were basically just like doing sex
yeah.
on the screen. And yep. I was like, whoa. This is like more than foreplay, guys.
Yep.
I'm like, actually, can we like do a little bit of teasing? Like you guys have totally lost the art of like trying to be sexy. I'm
yeah.
like, this, I actually thought it was a very bad look for Americans in terms of like, if we know how to sell sex or not.
No, and we don't.
Because I'm like, you guys have gone, you've gone, you didn't, you missed every single step.
Yeah.
You went straight to level 1,000 and that's your way of like selling sex
yeah.
and like winning a sexy challenge. I think you've gone about this all wrong. I was actually gobsmacked and disappointed to see what the American people have come up with.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, we have to ride the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Slowly increasing it over time. That's what's sexy.
They're not doing that on the US Fiji
Skip
Island.
Skip foreplay.
Yeah.
The American season of Love Island US, what I saw on Love Island US would suggest to me that Americans don't believe in foreplay. And I just believe we're sending the wrong message.
Well, what now, America?
What now, America? What are we doing? We want foreplay, guys. We want, everyone chant it at home. We want foreplay. We want foreplay. We want foreplay. Okay? Everyone, really, we've just into your skull. Now it's in there. Okay? Walk in, everybody. We gotta go back to the ancient texts.
Get a little fingered first. Yeah, fuck. No, listen,
I've seen the clip of me saying making out of nothing else start to take the rounds again.
Yeah.
You know what? This is a mid-year reminder of the making out of nothing else of it all. I said that at the beginning of the year. It maintains now.
Making out of nothing else.
Guys, we got to ramp up the sensuality, the sexuality. Mm-hmm. Okay? We've got to like get real sensual with it. Mm-hmm. Teasing, foreplay, awesome things.
Yep. It makes the sex better.
Way better.
I feel like people are like, oh, it takes so much time. It's like, but that's the part. That's the
part of what's the good. Part. That is the part.
That's the part.
And you know, the stripper, I will, again, I'm going to save most of this for the post show, but what I will say about the stripper is that he also didn't understand this.
Not sensual, I would say.
No.
More on that later.
More on that later. He didn't understand this at all.
No.
And that's, I was, what's happening?
America, what's happening?
We're losing it.
We're losing the sauce.
We are losing the sauce. We're losing in every capacity, you guys.
Yeah.
Every capacity.
We just lost the World Cup.
We just lost.
Now we're losing foreplay.
Okay.
What else can we lose?
And here's the thing. New York, awesome things are happening.
New York,
here.
We're on the up and up.
So New Yorkers, lock in on the foreplay of it all. Okay. Yeah. We can save America.
Mom Donnie, we're talking directly to you.
Mom Donnie, we need to bring foreplay back to the forefront.
We've done a lot for this city. You've done a lot for this city. And I really respect you for that.
Absolutely.
We know that you and your wife are fucking.
I urge you to take this seriously, Zoran Mamdani.
Please.
We need to make sure this doesn't become a sexless state.
Spread the good word.
Okay?
On foreplay.
Foreplay. We cannot be going dick and balls in the first 3 seconds.
Yeah.
No. No, no. Okay?
Say no to dick and balls in the first 3 seconds.
Completely.
That could be your next memo that you send to the city. I don't really know.
Or like the slogan of whatever campaign is running next.
Yeah, yeah.
Foreplay?
For yay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Everybody, slow and sensual.
Wins the race. That's what it is. Mom Donnie.
Come on.
Listen to us.
Mom Donnie, I will literally be the happiest I've ever been. Mom Donnie, please.
Okay, wait.
Mom Donnie, listen.
Actually, and this isn't a joke, Brad Lander does follow me on Instagram.
Brad Lander, you get in on this too,
I'm
buddy.
I'm speaking directly to you now, Brad. Slow and sensual wins the race.
Okay? Making out of nothing else. Tell the New Yorkers about it. We can save the rest of America. What they're doing on Love Island US is anti-foreplay.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. It's anti-foreplay.
It's anti-foreplay and it's wrong. And it's sick.
And Zoran, we can save America. We can.
With our help.
With our help.
You've made it far. Think about how much further you can go with us.
In New York, we do foreplay.
Brad Lander, listen to me.
That is actually crazy. The Brad Lander follows you.
I don't know why. but I'm
listen,
so glad that you do.
Shout out Brad Lander.
I love what you're doing, brother.
If you guys would like to submit to the show, tell us all your juicy secrets, the gossip, whatever's going on in your life. We want to commentate on it.
Yeah.
The same way we love to commentate on the life and secrets of the cast of Vanderpump Rules, we also want to commentate on your juicy gossip and secrets.
We really do. We would love, consider us to be like your digital confessional booth.
Completely. We're the priest.
But like no religion necessary.
No, the religion is
Lover Girls
HQ.
The religion is love.
Peace, love, unity.
All love. Let us know what the fuck is going on with you.
Tell me your goss.
Yeah, that's really it. We just want to gossip with you.
And it's anonymous, so like who cares?
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to someone calling someone out on the show again.
Yeah, it
like
has
they
happened
did that other time.
It has happened before, and that was delicious.
It was delicious.
It was awesome.
So if you know someone you hate or are beefing with currently listens to this show, submit to the box.
Let us know.
I'll probably read it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. I've been consuming a lot of Reddit/AmITheAsshole content for the drama, and the algorithm suggested me a conservative podcast in which people call in and ask for advice. I didn't notice it was conservative at first, and I had my hands busy as I was doing the dishes, so I just listened to it. A woman called asking if she should allow her daughter to go to sleepovers because she doesn't want her to be exposed to spicy content/conversations as the other girls are starting to go there. To me, this sounds like a terrible idea. Sleepovers are a place to experiment and learn and to be vulnerable with friends. I understand that some people are worried about letting their kids sleep in other people's places, but I wanted to know what you think, because to me, this whole thing sounds like a war against tween self-discovery, and it looks like there's no pushback. Thanks for everything. You are so inspiring. This podcast is Deloney's. Oh.
You had me until the end.
Hold on. I thought they were complimenting us. Like, I thought they were saying, like, this podcast is, I thought the next word was going to be, like, awesome or something.
Uh-huh.
I think the podcast they're referring to is called Deloney's. Okay. Got it. No compliment.
Thank you so much. You are so inspiring. This podcast is Deloney's.
The podcast is Deloney's. I was like, Deloney's.
Deloney's.
This podcast is Deloney's.
Huh. Okay.
I don't know that word.
Come on, Deloney's.
Okay, I'm assuming the other podcast is called Deloney's. Deloney's.
Terrible name okay, for a word. Podcast,
got
by
it.
The way. But
Deloney's.
For sure.
Okay. T. Here's my thing. Sleepovers to me were the most important fundamental part of my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I, listen, I'm not a parent. I'm not a parent. I don't claim to be a parent to understand what goes on.
Famously, we are
there.
two single 29-year-olds sitting in a bedroom.
Totally.
Talking into a microphone.
Totally, okay? It's 10:30 p.m. on a Tuesday. Yeah. Do you know where your children are?
we do don't. Because we don't have
because
them.
Because we don't have them, exactly. So I like understand parents having concerns about their kids going to sleepovers if they don't like know the adults of the house or like
sure.
not trusting other adults. I understand that.
Sure.
That seems kind of like a different conversation than this.
Mm-hmm.
I, in general, like the idea of someone's parent not wanting their kid to go to a sleepover because they don't want their kid being exposed to like swear words
right.
or like their kid, talking about hot, sexy movie stars or whatever the fuck else tween girls talk about.
Right.
Like, I think that's crazy.
Yeah.
And I look back at, like, this... my parents never gave a fuck. I think I started having sleepovers in, like, preschool.
Right.
I'm like, my parents were like, sure, yeah, friends can come over. You can go there. We don't give a shit.
Yeah.
So I feel like all of my childhood is, like, I remember it in sleepovers.
Mm-hmm.
All of, like, my young friendships, I remember those moments in sleepovers. And I feel like I learned how to be a good friend by going to sleepovers.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like the kind of intimacy and vulnerability you get with people when you've been together for, you know, a long period of time, you're talking, you're on fucking hour 15 of talking. It's mm-hmm. 3 a.m. and you can barely keep your eyes open.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like you go places, you hit levels of closeness with people that you just can't get if you don't spend the extended amount of time.
Yeah.
With them. And that's not to say that I didn't have shitty experiences at sleepovers growing up. Like, I was absolutely bullied at some sleepovers. Mm-hmm. I did, you know, hang out with people that ended up not being long-term friends of mine, the same as every other fucking kid on planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that shielding your kid from those experiences makes them a better person. I think that it just, yeah, kind of halts them in real time. And just pushes that learning off to a later date.
Yeah. Well, I don't really understand like what the benefit would be in keeping someone from going to a sleepover
yeah.
or like keeping a kid from going to a sleepover. Like, I think if anything, that question shows that you like also like fundamentally don't trust your child.
Yeah.
Because like my thing is like if I was ever uncomfortable at like a friend's mm-hmm. house because of their parents or something like that, best believe I'm going to my mom and saying,
for
I
sure.
don't want to go over there again.
Totally.
It was not even a question of like, oh, I'm just going to like try to save face and be polite over here. Like, I was like, no, I'm going to my mom and I'm like, I don't want to play
right.
at that kid's house again.
I'm going to the bathroom. I'm calling my mom and saying, please come pick
get,
me up.
Get me out of here.
I don't want to stay the night.
Right. That has happened so many times. That happened to me when I was a kid. I did want to sleep over with my friend and I was at her house, but I was feeling really anxious because I had gotten my first F on a math assignment.
Mm.
And I thought that my mom was going to be really mad. So I like worked myself up into like an anxiety spiral and called my mom and was like, please come pick me up. And she, of course, thought something was really wrong.
Yeah.
And then when I told her, she was like, oh, she was like, you didn't need to like punish yourself right. by calling yourself That's to fine. Leave the sleepover. But no, I mean, I think like, yeah, this idea that your kid isn't like has a good enough head on their shoulders to voice right. when they feel uncomfortable.
Well, this is the thing about like,
to me, that's a failing of the parent.
For sure. You know? I think that's a failing of strict parenting.
Yes.
As completely. Someone who did not have strict parents yeah. growing up, like I actually feel like I was very much a rule follower throughout my whole life.
Me too.
And I actually think that's a product of not having strict parents.
I agree. I completely agree. I mean, I know that we have the difference of like your eldest daughter, I'm youngest daughter, but like, and also critically eldest kid, youngest kid.
Yeah.
But like, I think similarly, my parents also were like really chill by the time they got to me.
Yeah.
And as a result, like none of those things were taboo or exciting to me.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Because I was like, yeah, I could access these things if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I just don't really want to yet.
Right.
Like there's no part of me that feels like I'm getting some right. sort of glee out of this thing because it's always been available to me.
Yeah.
You know,
I just feel like with the strict parenting and again, I'm not a fucking parent.
Right. Who knows? Take this all with a grain of salt. We're not parents.
Put a sock in it.
Relax.
These are my opinions. Okay. Yeah. Can I have them? Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, America. Okay. So I feel like when you are a strict parent, you don't end up actually forming any kind of mutual respect with your child. I actually really disagree with parents who take the position of like, I'm your parent.
Yeah.
Like you owe me a respect that I don't also owe you.
Agreed.
I don't feel like that's how you create a space of like trust with your child.
Yeah.
And I'm not down with that. I think that's like, that's a way to get your child to hate you.
Yeah.
So I am more down with like, if you have like a very mutual respect with your child where it's like you're not strict with them, you let them be themselves, you let them explore, mm-hmm. you help reroute them when they need to be, but otherwise there's like this expectation that like I'm respecting you by letting you be who you are and mm-hmm. letting you grow and learn and whatever and helping and guiding you but not controlling you.
Yeah.
And like as a result you're able to be more vulnerable and trusting with me and you feel comfortable to come to me if something's wrong because you know that I'm not going to crucify you for making a mistake or for finding yourself in a position where you do feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Like I'm just going to help you.
Yeah.
Because I'm your parent.
Right. And like also I chose to bring you into this world.
Right.
And like care for you in that way.
I don't know.
No, and here's what I will say too is that I've seen like in our adult lives now, I have seen, you know, friends and close ones in my life like reckon with the now kind of sordid relationship that they have with their parents
mm-hmm.
who still act like I'm the parent, you're the kid.
Right.
And it's like, well, actually, I'm 30 now.
Right.
So now what? And the reality is that they really struggle to then have that like mutual respect relationship with their parent and vice versa because their parent never actually saw them as like a human being.
Yeah.
And I think that parents sometimes forget about that like your kid will grow up.
Right.
And one day they won't be a kid anymore. And like you're going to want them to come to you in
yeah.
their life. And the reality is that if you put these like really strict parameters and borders around what they can and can't do when they're younger, obviously to a degree, right? It's like, you know, my parents weren't like handing me drugs and being like, go freebase right. outside, you know, out no. by the creek, you know, that
totally.
Wasn't what they were doing.
And but like for the record, if I did do anything like that, I would have gotten in trouble.
Of course.
Like, yeah. It's not like, that like because my parents weren't strict, it meant that they never disciplined me.
Of course.
It just meant that if I was being disciplined, it was because I really fucked up and not
yes.
because I was like a normal teenager doing normal teenage things.
Right. Right. And that's the thing too. It's like, yeah, it's at some point you have to be able to trust your child.
Right.
And I also think in general, it sounds silly, but like, I do think that children are just afforded like some of the least amount of rights as like groups of human beings. And it was really frustrating to me as a kid to experience that and to experience people like talking down at me and like being condescending towards me when I knew that they were doing that just because I was little. And that is something that like I see in like parent children dynamics today,
right?
When parents treat their kids that way.
Yeah.
When they it's like they act as though this child will never grow up.
Right.
Which to me is really, I'm like, have you thought through the whole parenting thing or what?
Right.
Like this just kind of, this goes on and on and up, you know, like, I don't know, but it's like, I think within reason, you know, if like, if the kid is going over to like the known crack den in your neighborhood.
Well, right. And that's the other side of it where it's like, I understand not trusting other adults.
Totally.
And being like, I don't know this person's parents. Yeah. Like, I feel a little nervous to send my kid out to like, more for the adults, not for like worry of other kids necessarily.
Right.
But for like, are the adults in that house safe?
And I think now that I'm thinking about it, I do think that whenever I had a sleepover with somebody new, I'm fairly certain that like my parents would meet their parents for like half an hour or an hour or whatever and just like talk and gab and what have you. And then they would be like, okay, have fun. Like, see you later.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think that there was that kind of like thing in place of like,
for
okay,
sure.
Okay, let's like see the house and see the parents and whatever.
Go talk and.
But
just...
again, I never as a kid had any moment where I felt like I couldn't go to my parents and be like, I don't feel comfortable being at that place,
right.
Being with those people anymore. Yeah. And whenever that happened, I would just be able to use the my mom said I can't excuse.
Right.
Which was awesome. I wish that I still had that.
Yeah, I know.
I do that with like other stuff sometimes.
Sorry, my mom said I can't.
My mom said I can't. Sorry. They're like, Meg, you're 29. I'm like, I know. Yeah, it's just rules are rules. It's rules are rules. I don't know.
I have a bedtime.
I don't know. I have a bedtime.
She won't let me.
Yeah. I don't have enough time for this.
I know. No, I remember if I didn't want to go to something, my mom would be like, just say I won't let you.
Yeah. My mom would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Just say I can.
Just say, we can pretend I'm being strict.
Yeah.
Like, my mom's being such a bitch.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, my mom's like, good.
Good job. Say I'm a cunt.
So, you know, obviously we're pro sleepover.
It's tough to say because it's like, yeah, we're so pro sleepover. And I think we both come from like cool parent houses.
Right.
So it's tough because it's like, I don't know. I was the person throwing the parties. You know what I mean?
Right.
And yes, it was with my small little circle of friends in high school. None of them were ragers by any means. But but certainly I was throwing them.
Yeah.
And my parents were, you know, they were the kind that was like, I'd rather you do it in the house. You know, like that type of vibe.
And I didn't smoke or drink until I was 17 or 18.
Yeah.
I like didn't even care.
Yeah, same.
I didn't want to.
And it was always, here's the thing, not in like a not in like a scary way, but it was like when I was like 14, that offer was on the table.
Totally.
For sure. And I was just like, No, I'm cool.
I'm like, actually, I want to be a kid.
Yeah, like, I'm chill.
And I felt really comfortable just being like, no.
Yeah.
I'm only 14. Why would you offer me that?
Hey, that's the thing.
Weirdo, I'm 14.
We would have been so like this, just twin in high school. Because straight up, I was so the kid that was like, I'd actually like to enjoy my childhood.
I know, thanks, but so was I.
I'm in no rush. Thanks very much. I'm all set over here. I don't know, and I don't know like where that came
from.
The
like urge that other people felt to grow up quickly, I never felt.
I never had that. And we still don't. We talk about that today where we're like, we're just enjoying the phase of life that we're in now. And it's nice.
Excited to be here.
Yeah.
Excited to be 30 next year. That'll be awesome.
That's going to be sick too.
Everything sounds awesome, guys.
I'm sure when I turn 40, I'll be excited for that as well.
Totally.
Come on.
Have you seen what Katie Maloney looks like?
Oh my God.
She's slaying. The amount of swag she has. 40-year-olds are allowed to be so much swaggier now.
I know.
That's what our generation is doing. We're expanding the swag capacity.
Yeah.
Swag doesn't have an age.
Not anymore. I think you can be swaggy till you're hitting dirt.
Completely.
Yeah. And I think that that's really great. Anyway, send your kid to the sleepover.
Yeah.
Whatever. Come on. Let your kid have fun. Chill.
Yeah, come on.
Shocked that our answer is different than the conservative podcast.
Yeah, no, come on.
Yeah.
Let them prank call the phone number on the back of a chip bag.
Let them, like, practice making out with each other.
Yeah, why not?
Whatever. Whatever.
Who freaking cares?
Someone talks about, like, giving like, a guy in their grade a hand job.
Ooh.
Whatever.
What freaking ever.
That's a part. They're doing it anyway. Right. And guess what? Your kid goes to fucking school. So they're hearing all this shit at right. school
if
anyway.
The sleepover is not the thing that, like, if they don't go to the sleepover, they're never going to have these conversations. It's like, they're like, talking about it regardless.
Yeah, they're going to have these conversations in the back of English class. Like, whatever. You might as well send them to, like, a sanctioned time for it.
Right.
Because guess what? Here's what's happening is your kid is then just either going to school and getting, like, updated on what they missed at the sleepover. Mm-hmm. So they're learning about all of it anyway.
While feeling left out at the same time.
While feeling left out. Or they're just not, those kids aren't talking to your kid. So now right. your kid's just left out.
Yeah.
You want your kid to be a loser?
Now we're threatening them.
Now we're threatening them.
Oh, so you want your kid to be a loser then?
Oh. We would be great parents.
No, I actually think we would.
Sorry, do you want your kid to be a fucking loser?
For sure. I think often it's a shame that I don't want kids because I think I'd be so good at raising kids.
Oh, I think
kids.
You'd be an amazing parent.
I think I'd be and I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Sorry, don't care to. I think I'd be awesome at it though. But that also feels like the same way. It feels like the same thing as someone being like, yeah, you know, I'm probably like an awesome singer. I've just like never tried.
You're so right.
I could probably do a kickflip if I tried right now, but like I've just never, nobody ever gave me like a skateboard.
Right, right.
But like I just feel in my bones that I would be good at parenting.
No, like I could have gone pro in baseball. I just like tore my ACL.
No, like you'd be shocked at how good I would be at those things.
Yeah.
I just like, yeah, haven't had the opportunity.
Just
to.
Like haven't even tried.
And like don't plan to.
Yeah.
But I'd be awesome at it. Trust that I'd be the best at it if I did it.
Trust that I'd be the best at it.
That's it for today's episode. I think next week we should do a big audience submission episode.
I would love that.
And just like really get into it.
Yeah.
So load up that box this week.
Yeah.
And next week we'll be back here and we'll hit those audience submissions hard.
All your confessionals. Yeah, all please. Your dirty little secrets.
Give us the juice. Or any like if you see something online that you're like, I need to hear your take on this.
Yeah.
Put it in the submission box.
Yeah.
I see sometimes you guys will DM me that stuff on Instagram, mm-hmm. which sometimes I remember to write it down if you do that, but if you put it in the submission box, it's way easier.
Yeah, and okay? We get that for Vanderpump a lot too, mm-hmm. but would love to see about just the world in
totally
general.
yeah mm-hmm. You can follow the show at Emotionally Online Pod on Instagram and TikTok. You can follow me at Maddie Drosbeck.
You can follow me at Meg Ruoco,
and we will see you guys next week for both the Pumpcast and a very special audience submission version of Emotionally Online. Woo!